It's as good looking as that finger was bad. This is the payoff.
When did I have, when did this last surgery happen, John? Do you remember?
Last Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah.
Thursday?
We
could go to
Nipco. Yeah.
No, 2 weeks ago.
Huh?
No.
Why not 1 2 weeks?
1 2 weeks.
That's right. It was on Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
Wednesday.
We have 1 day
recovery. They, I'm supposed to get... The thingy that I, you know, they give you, it says that all the stitches are supposed to be removed from in 6 to 9 days. Well, we're rapidly approaching that.
Yeah.
Let's go to Revelation 18. Revelation 18, Mr. Dunbar. Believe it or not, the worst, heaviest, the most oppressive form of debt, that's what we're talking about, is religious debt.
Amen.
And the one common denominator for religious debt in all religions is fill in the blank.
Bondage.
Yes. It's well in the context that we're talking about today, it's cause and effect. What? I'm not saying anything. Now what's he doing?
Oh my God! What's happening?
Just turn the air conditioner off for a while.
Yeah, everybody's hot. No,
it's not real hot yet. I'm not opening the doors.
I'm gonna come up with a sound bath.
The secret is to program the thermostat to come on at like 7.
7, so it'll be cool by 7:30.
We do that, but Ollie comes in and turns the air conditioning off and opens the doors.
Oh.
It's,
oh.
It is, it's already programmed to do that. If the doors were left shut.
And then he thinks it's cool in here.
No, it's not the point. It smells in here, so you're trying to get the smell out.
Every morning it smells in here?
What's up with that?
No, it smells just like oregano.
I'm gonna sit up here.
You were forecasting that smell because that only happened until one white got hurt.
Yeah,
it was not
religious debt.
So you can just open the
I'll quit.
Off the air conditioner because the air
won't. I won't open the doors unless it's an emergency. Verse chapter 17 of Revelation predicts the doom of Babylon. And chapter 18 is the fall of Babylon. And Babylon is the... Remember, there's only two left. There's only vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy. I'll go briefly. Remember, the chief god of Babylon was this obelisk that was 60 cubits high. And it was really made out of some cheap thing, but they made it look like it was gold. And you remember the legend is that obelisk wouldn't stand by itself. It was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits in diameter. And so when Nebuchadnezzar raided the temple in Jerusalem, he used the artifacts from the temple to build the base for the obelisk. And this is the god that every time the sackbut sounded, and there was other things, and everybody in Babylon had to fall down or worship or be killed. It's my opinion that that obelisk is cause and effect, because the one greatest enemy of mercy and grace is cause and effect. Because if I know how to do something to get this result, then faith is gone. So I think that I'm doing something right. Can we at least agree on this premise for a minute? So, in verse 18, chapter 18, verse 1, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory." Now remember again, the judgment must always be first begin at the house of God, or you as the temple. And so all of the activities in the book of Revelation have to take place in you. So for all the first 17 or 16 chapters of Revelation, the obelisk was still standing. So now, let's see what happens. "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to the works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow." Now, all nations have drunk of the wrath of her fornication. And the book of Hosea defines fornication as going anywhere other than to the Father himself for anything. It says your corn, your wine, and your oil, but it's signifying that it going to any place else, which in effect is cause and effect. Now, let's look at Revelation 12 first. Verse 7. "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So again, rather than seeing the book of Revelation as this, you come up with these crazy interpretations of stuff's going to happen in the future and blah, 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 it's always true. And it's always true first with you as an individual. And these things, you remember, there's first the message to the seven churches, which is the seven types. And then that comes on and it talks about all the horses and all this. So now we're dealing with this issue, which is, to me, is the greatest enemy of faith, which is Babylon, which is cause and effect, reward and punishment. And so now we've heard that the great, he was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. And then when that happened, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Now, in effect, the accuser of the brethren is your mind. It never stops. And until that is cast down in you, until it has no more effect, no more... "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death." Loved here is the verb. They did no longer do you give breath to your own life. You have overcome the effect of the curse, which is self-seeking, self-realization. So you've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Now, the word of your testimony here doesn't mean, "Oh, I used to be bad, now I'm good." The word of your testimony is, it means the martyr. You've died. "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth." If the earth remains your habitation, then no matter what you do, woe to you. But for his people, their habitation is on the mercy seat. So this is not our habitation. That's why it's so critical that you might know you have an inheritance and that you every once in a while possess it, but you must dwell 100% of the time on that mercy seat. When you come off the mercy seat for a thousand good reasons that you think, and boy, can you come up with them, then you're dwelling on the earth. Well, let's now go to Revelation 13. First, it talks about the beast itself. And then in verse 11, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. This one didn't come up out of the sea. Now this one came up out of the earth. What's going on? Huh?
Go ahead.
And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. In other words, he became a believer. But still, he had the two horns like a lamb, but he still spake as a dragon, because the essence of speech was how to get something from your God. What?
Well, I'm just putting this symbolism of the dragon together. I mean, you hear about dragons all the time, but I never quite understood what their symbolic reasonings were, but they're pretty... self-seeking.
Well, I mean, the dragon, the reason it's there, it's just another, it's the old serpent called the devil and Satan, the dragon, you know, it's all the same thing.
It's all the same beast, but
alright. "And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him," just like, "and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the beast, whose deadly wound was healed." In other words, you're still worshiping the beast, you. The words that come out of your mouth is this now new religious beast, having the two horns like a lamb, but it's still the dragon that's giving you your speech. Because all of your speech comes from the basis of what you can get and how you can become something.
But you're speaking it as if in the name of God.
It doesn't matter.
But your words are those.
Yeah.
That's the source of your thinking.
Well, anyway, so I just wanted you to get that picture. Instead of the comic book of what, oh, this is going to happen, and Israel's going to do this, and then the 10 common market nations are going to do that, and then there's this guy going to come up, and it's all taking place within each one of us. Now let's go to
That's the only thing that makes this timeless. The idea that it's coming in the future or it happened in the past makes Revelation time dependent.
Well, and it makes a mockery of the mystery of God.
And it's dependent on our activities and our behaviors.
And it's dependent on time. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be you separate. Now, you come out from among them not by going and living in isolation, which I would like to do. You come out from among them by not having, you're not yoked with them because you're in no agreement in any time. Now, it sounds kind of easy, maybe. Well, I'm going to come out of cause and effect, but I promise you that is the most difficult debt to ever leave. What?
That's all I do is, if I do this, I'm in trouble.
See, that's the yoke.
That's all I do.
It's a yoke.
Never thought of that.
The yoke's on you.
You gotta get in trouble.
All right, let's go back and see what Isaiah said about it. Isaiah 52. 'Cause it's all based on the fall, self-realization, self becoming something. And your entire religion is based on what you can get from God. And it's just a stench in the nostrils of God. And all nations, all people have drunk of the wine of her fornication. Maybe you understand why I've been so hard on some of you.
No.
No, poor you. Awake, awake. Remember, that's the call at every Rosh Hashanah. Stop chasing shadows and the vanity of the imaginations of your own mind. Put on strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. It's not that they shouldn't come in, it's they can't. Because they are blocked from coming in because the only one that can come in is the one that came from eternity. Everything else is a comic book. Shake thyself from the dust, arise, and then sit down. I love that. O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. The captivity of being going into Babylon, the captivity of being in Babylon is the captivity of cause and effect. And you are held captive worse than any prison cell. When Jesus said, let the loose the prisoners, he wasn't talking about having a prison ministry. He was talking about loosing you from the bands of cause and effect so that you could come out of that harlot.
Is that what people say it means? That
no.
They should be a
I don't care what people say. For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing. You become a bondman to cause and effect, and you've done it voluntarily. When it's God's good pleasure to give you all things freely, but no, we got to do this, then we got to behave, and we got to do that, and we got to do this. It's like I've said so often. I used to pick on Harry. I'm going to miss picking on Harry.
Pretend he's here.
Well, you've heard me say, in 1978 or whenever it was, he said he was born again. And so you may have been born again, and you were in a jet plane, and you just made one of those kind of landings where you just let the wheels touch for a minute, and then you go directly to Babylon. And so he became a captive in Babylon. Till he heard the voice of Ezra and Nehemiah saying, get the hell out of there and come. What?
When you go, no. But no, God, you don't understand. It's more complicated. You don't understand.
Yeah. Oh, poor. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away to Babylon for naught? And they that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Remember, blasphemy is a technical term in the law, and it means to deny the foundation. And you deny the foundation every single time you lean on cause and effect. You lean on your own arm of understanding. You lean on the traditions of men rather than living in that pure moment of faith. And it's all because you think God has forsaken you. Now you have to go back to live, blah, blah, blah. Ad nauseum.
I was thinking of the oddity of the idea of a moment of faith. By English language, you would think that's a small moment, and yet it's the
eternity.
It's eternity. So it's like, if you see it from God's point of view, it's forever. But man's, it's just a moment.
Therefore, my people shall know my name. And in spite of all that, therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. And again, the way you know that, it might be something new to your mind, but it's something that you've known your whole life. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. That bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth, quit fucking around with all these idols. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together they shall sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. In other words, when the bring again means to bring you out of. When you're brought out of Babylon. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all of the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And that's what happened on Pentecost. The gospel was preached to every creature under heaven on the day of Pentecost. And it never stopped. Do you think God would leave that to idiots like us?
I heard that the Lord hath made bare his holy arm, his right arm of strength.
Well, his whole arm is his zeroi, his seed.
Yeah, but he's made it.
It's
there. And it's revealed.
Now, in verse 11. Depart ye, depart ye. Go you out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go you out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord, or that are the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out with haste nor by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel shall be your rearward, your protection. But behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high, as many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which they had not been told them they shall see. And that which they had not heard, they shall consider. And that's always true. But who hath believed our report? This is just asinine. Doesn't mean it's not understandable unless you have failed at everything. But woe to them. They use this new deal to build back up the things that they've destroyed. What? What? Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm? This same right arm, or the same Zeruah, is revealed. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Do you understand that? There's nothing about Jesus Christ that is attractive to the human mind. That's why Satan said, Jesus said that Satan had no more interest in him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now the word healed here doesn't mean that he's fixed your boo-boo. What? It means complete, entire, whole, perfect, lacking nothing. Because the Lord is your shepherd, you shall no longer want. You shall no longer believe that the condition you're in should be different than it is. Because everything that is needful, not from your understanding, from His, is provided. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It's the pleasure of the Lord. It's not our pleasure. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressions, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgression. So now, and again, there was no chapters or verses when these scrolls were written. So now, sing, O barren that did not bear, that you and I. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. In other words, forever there'll be a jillion more people of Babylon than there is people, or vessels of wrath more than vessels of mercy. So never look around and compare to see whether or not there's more followers. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. Let them go to the ends of time and space itself. Stop making your ideas and thoughts have any barrier. That's the only way you can see the vanity of them. If you take them to the ends of the earth and the ends of time itself. Otherwise, you can prove to yourself all this crap in these little, you can prove cause and effect works in these little limited environments. What?
You've got to be so courageous to walk in this. And your soul is at stake. Your eternal life is at stake.
I mean, for me, it's not courage. It's simply everything else is crap. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but now with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but now with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I've sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay the foundation with sapphires. Yeah, it talks, well, I'll read it. We're going to go over time. I will make thy windows of agate, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for it shall not come near thee. For thou shalt not fear from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals and the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, because their righteousness is only of me. So that was the short grass for religious debt. Come out of her, my people. Amen? Anybody see anything?
To me, it went to that yoke. And seeing that is what you are deeply in agreement with, that you might not even realize you're agreeing with your behavior in a religious structure.
God doesn't give a hoot what you call yourself outwardly. He only cares what the religion of your inside you is. Kevin? All right, take it, big guy.